Well, good afternoon, Adina.
Good afternoon, Edwin.
Day 12. How are you?
Day 12, episode 12. My morning has turned around. I did not wake up in a good mood. I was prepared to come on this podcast and be in a bad mood and a mess because I did not sleep well last night because I woke up with really bad period cramps. It permeated my whole body and my whole mood when I first woke up, but we've turned it around.
No one can be expected to be perky and happy and fun all the time. I mean, that's just life.
That's
things
true.
Happen. This is a part of life.
Yes.
So you're allowed.
That's true. I should allow more space for the
yeah.
cranky, groany side.
Yes, because we are not perfect. We are humans.
True. Thank
we
you for that
we all have
reminder.
Bad days. And
thank
you're
you.
Allowed to have bad days.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah, you and everybody else are allowed to have bad days.
That is true. How are you? How was your morning?
So remember yesterday when you said we were supposed to have 3 days of rain? But by the way, which very few people are going to get that joke. Do you get that joke? 3 days of Rain is a show that was on Broadway years ago starring Julia Roberts. And I'm pretty sure it was only on Broadway for like 3 months.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. No, I actually didn't know that. I did. I promised 3 days of rain. And yet it is gorgeous and sunny.
Thank God you did not go and get your meteorologist license because you would have failed.
Thank goodness. I'm not meant to be a meteorologist.
It is a sunny day. It is gorgeous. I got up early this morning.
Yeah.
Watched an episode of Good Girls. And then I went for a run.
You went for a run. I am
just as shocked as you are.
Okay, I appreciate that because, wow, I mean, I love this. I love active, getting outdoors Edwin.
Side note, there were no cute boys on the street. So my plan is foiled day one. And not that there really was a plan so much as, I don't know what's going on.
A smile and a wink to be had with the cute boys
No smile and no winks this morning, but I feel good.
I love
I got,
that.
I had the what is it called? The endorphins. The endorphins pumping.
I did S Factor this morning, and even though I was in a mood the whole time, I leaned into it. I felt it. I moved it. And the endorphins are helping. And I'm also have started things to continue through the day that I enjoy.
Well, like you're starting to make challah.
Yeah. So it's Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
It is our second time celebrating Shabbat in this time of social distance and isolation.
What's on the menu for this evening?
I think we're going to make a curry again.
Fabulous.
Chickpea and potato and maybe some spinach.
Fabulous.
Curry with challah, with fresh handmade challah.
And I will not blow the candles out this time.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
it. I learned my lesson.
But it's okay that you did because now we have candles ready for this week. So
are they here already?
No.
Or we're just going to
use the old ones. We're going to reuse the ones you blew out.
Okay.
But next week we will have like real Shabbat candles that only burn a couple of hours from start to finish.
Got it. And then tonight, and then after that is Drag Race.
Woo woo!
Which I'm super excited about.
Me too. Expect our recap/opinions tomorrow.
Yeah. Do we know what's happening on this episode yet?
I actually don't know. I haven't watched any previews or anything.
I try not to do that. I like to stay surprised.
I'm with you. Oh, I think I saw who a judge is. I think Normani's a judge.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah.
She's fabulous.
She's fabulous. Normani's a singer, for those who don't know. Her hit is Motivation.
Yes. And wasn't she also in Fifth Harmony?
Oh, yeah. I think so. That
yeah,
seems right.
I think she was in Fifth Harmony. You know what? Let's take 2 seconds and double check that. Let's get her information correct. Fifth Harmony cast? Members. Yes, Normani. Yes, she was in Fifth Harmony. I was right.
You are right. Love that.
Yeah, no, I love that song. I love her. Have you seen that video?
No, but I've seen her perform it on various award shows. And I think the choreography
is fabulous.
Yeah, fabulous.
Absolutely fabulous. She's fabulous.
Yeah, so I'm excited. That is the only thing I know going into tonight. And we will give you a full report tomorrow.
I'm excited. Do you have any updates for me? Or for our listeners. Not for me. For our listeners.
For our listeners. I went on a third Skype date.
Wait, when?
Last night? Yeah.
In
our pajamas. It was pretty cute.
Yes.
It was pretty quick, but it was very sweet.
And it was with the same guy.
Same guy.
I love this. So how are things going? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. It was a really nice moment last night to have like a conversation about like acknowledging this is so weird and we don't know how long it's going to go on. But like we're in it. Mm-hmm. So here we are.
Is he still self-isolating?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he lives alone. He went for a walk with a friend yesterday.
Social distanced?
I hope. I think okay. so.
I would assume. I would hope
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about what our physical connection will look like, it's exciting.
Oh, you've talked about that?
Yeah, oh, a little bit.
Great, good.
Gotta flirt a little bit and like say, oh yes, I would like to kiss you. We have now hung out this many times. Like, we spent this much time together, you know? So... Edwin's making the fun of his face.
I have a giant grin on my face.
I love it.
I love love. I do. And not to put a label on this of love, but I really enjoy seeing people connect.
It's really fun to have a crush. That is such a fun feeling.
It is. It really is. It's a fabulous feeling of meeting somebody that you enjoy and they enjoy you.
Exactly.
The mutual enjoyment and getting to know someone. I have feelings about getting to know people and the whole dating thing. But putting that aside.
Oh, we know.
watching others do it. I am a full supporter. And I love this for you.
Thank you.
I really do.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. So yesterday we talked about trips that were significant for us and travel. And one of the things that we touched on was my trip to Puerto Rico and how significant that was for me.
Yeah, this trip you kind of took to be in touch with your history and your ancestry.
Right.
And parts of your identity.
Yes. And this morning, Andina and I were talking about that idea and kind of expounding upon it. And we ended up talking a lot about identity.
Yeah.
And our history and where we come from and how we got to where we are and how we see ourselves.
How we see ourselves and what words we like to use to describe ourselves. So maybe that's the place to start here. How do you identify? What words would, if you were, someone were to ask, who are you? How would you answer?
Misfit. I mean, yeah, I've always felt like a misfit, but if I'm going to get more serious about it, maybe, I don't know. If a gun was put to my head and I had to give you an answer, it would say, I am a multiracial, gay, male, New Yorker, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
With a heavy dose of Southern that you don't automatically get when you meet me. And I guess that's what it would be. I identify as Puerto Rican? To be honest, I don't tell people that a lot up front. When I tell other Latin people that I'm Puerto Rican, they automatically assume that I speak Spanish.
The expectations that come with claiming an identity that maybe you don't feel totally backed by.
Yeah, because they don't. When I tell them, no, I don't speak Spanish, automatically, you're not a real Puerto Rican. You're not a real Latin.
That's so sad.
Yes, it is. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But, you know, I made peace with it.
But it's also your experience.
But that's my experience.
So what we have to start here is gay, male, New Yorker.
Yeah, gay, male, New Yorker.
Very broad, with a hint of Southern. That's also what we got.
A heavy dose, heavy pinch of Southern in there.
I love it.
You know, it might be the cooking oil, but, you know, and a little butter. But, you know, that's it. What about you? How do you identify?
White, female, queer, Jewish.
And how did you get to that conclusion? How did we land here for you?
Probably with a hint of New Yorker. I'm going to add that.
I love that. Well, I mean, we're here now. We're New Yorkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I am white.
Yes.
I am very lucky I identify with the gender I was assigned at birth. Always really strongly identified with like feminine energy and feminine dress and makeup and hair and all that femininity that looks beautifully different on a lot of different people. And then queer, because I'm not only attracted to cis men, and Jewish is my culture and my religion and my community.
Do you feel like you have a stronger connection to one of those identities over the others?
I don't think so. I think, like, female, Jewish, and queer are this beautiful, twisted braid of who I am. And I think it every identity contributes to the next one and the next one and to the position I'm in and the position and the way I feel and the way I move in each of those communities and spaces.
Have there been any significant or notable points in your life that have brought you to these identities? Were you maybe at one point not thinking that you identified as one thing and then you kind of grew or something happened and you go, oh, wait, no, this is a part of me too, or I am this way as well?
I think that sense of other you described of misfit is also something I've always identified with. For me, up until recently, I wasn't putting my queerness with that.
Okay.
I didn't necessarily fold them hand in hand until my queer community expanded and talking about the experiences of otherness that other queer people experience. I saw that and I was like, oh, that's that. That's that feeling of being other and feeling outside conventional romantic or not romantic, but just like conventional relationships.
When did your queer community start to broaden or start to strengthen, rather, maybe?
College.
Okay.
And I feel like in New York, it has grown even bigger and broader. But also the access to queer culture and queer community here is stronger and bigger. And I have encountered more people who are encouraging of exploration, more people that are encouraging of exploration of every type in a like safe and loving way.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes...
Well, location, I believe, is a huge factor in our personal growth. You talk about growing up in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a big town, small town, conservative?
I grew up in a relatively small town going to pretty conservative schools.
Okay.
Like, I have clear recollections of my mom fighting feminist fights for me at a very young age.
Damn. Well, I mean, I think it's cool, though, that you had that example.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So the example I will give till the cows come home, and I think it's a pretty good story. So in Jewish schools, you pray every day, and the boys wear prayer shawls from kindergarten, pretty much. And I wanted to wear one.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And my mom had to fight with our principal. She made me one. It was blue denim with Dalmatians on it.
I live. I love that. Do you? Okay, we need to find a picture. Find a picture of you with this prayer shawl.
I'm not sure I have any pictures, but... And she fought with the head of our school to get permission for me to wear it. I didn't wear it forever. I outgrew it because I didn't want to feel like, quote, the weird one. But...
Was it just the girls don't wear this. Only boys do.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, and in traditional circles, they don't. If it had been a more liberal school, I would have been able to wear it without...
Okay.
Blink of an eye. I have a lot of memories of that, of not wanting to be the weird one, of stepping back or pulling back or saying less or doing less in public.
Not wanting to be the weird one, but you wanting to wear
mm-hmm.
a prayer shawl that is traditionally male.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
I mean, that's why I stopped.
Okay. Okay.
Or not, I'm guessing. I know that's why I stopped. So. What Do about you? Do you have any... clear memories of kind of similar experiences of being other?
You know, hindsight is always 2020.
Of course.
Which is kind of the story of my life, really. When I look back, there are a couple of moments that stick out to me, but at the time, they didn't really. The biggest one being just, I was always the other.
Mm-hmm.
Period, paragraph. First off, my family was always other. Because of what we looked like and who we were compared to all the white people.
In your small town in Kentucky.
Yeah. And then two, even in my family, I was the other. But there were just things, not necessarily moments that stood out. Like at church, I always wanted to hang out with the girls over the boys. I just related to them.
Yeah.
More than I did the boys, and the boys wanted to do things I just did not care about. I wanted to be in the arts. I wanted to do all the artsy things and do theater and sing and dance. And
from a very young age?
Oh, from a very young age, absolutely. And I always, you know, I'm very flamboyant. I have always been like this. Mm-hmm. I watched, there was years ago, I remember a moment where I was we were watching family videos that were taken from when I was very young. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, I am so gay. I'm a giant flame just hanging out there. And proudly so. You know, I let my flame fly and I love it. I'm very proud of that. But
do you have really clear memories of challenging moments? Because you grew up in, like, specific.
Yeah, well, challenging moments in that it was when you grow up in an environment that is only one thing and you aren't exposed to anything other, the environment you grow up in is your norm.
Yeah, oh, of course.
So looking back, that was just normal for me. All these things that were not okay or maybe would have stuck out for other people were just another day for me.
Yeah.
People saying, why do you act like a girl, was a normal thing for me. People saying, why do you talk like that? Why do you talk like a girl? That was a very normal thing for me.
Oh, my gosh.
There was one time when my, God bless him, there was one time where my dad and I were arguing about something, and he said something like, well, people at work make fun of you because you act like a girl. And I mean, that moment was just like, wait, what? I mean, this was just my life. This was normal. So I guess you could say my whole childhood was a challenge.
That's so upsetting.
I mean, yes, it's horrible, but you know, I can't do anything to change that.
Of course.
So,
I mean, I'm amazed that you maintain the brightness of your flame.
It has not always been this bright. It's definitely gotten brighter and then gotten dimmer and then gotten brighter again over the years.
What's a moment that just made it bright, turned it up? Recent or past?
Whenever I got to be a part of a show at home, growing up, which I was only in a couple of plays at home, but whenever I got to be a part of a show, that amplified it. Because I was with like-minded people, and I always felt very safe and comfortable with those people. I remember when I finally came out, I was 19, still at home, and I was doing a show, and I came out to my fellow castmates, and it was the most whatever thing to them. They just did not care. It was more emotionally traumatizing to me to come out than it was for them. They all knew. But I mean, that just goes to show how being around these people was just
chill.
They were just cool. It's whatever.
But also it shows how much shame you were taught, because that was how much shame we're all taught.
Yeah, but I mean, specifically for me, I mean, the whole religion thing as well, and it being a conservative place and yada, 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 it was just kind of not the
coolest. Was that influence, that kind of conservative religious background, like, predictable in every, like, I can imagine kind of every conservative thing, or was there something, like, that was more or less?
I think mine was more so because of the homeschooling aspect. The homeschooling aspect, let me be very clear about this. My parents, I asked them one time, why did you choose to homeschool us? And they told me, because we wanted to spend more time with you. Which I think is true.
That can't be the whole.
But that's not the whole thing.
Yeah.
If I'm being completely honest with myself and everybody out there, a large reason was control.
Yeah.
Controlling what goes in and controlling what goes out.
Yeah.
That was my life, was control. Which is why I have such a problem with Christianity and organized religion. Mm-hmm. Just me personally.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of it has to do with control. Blind faith and
control.
You also need to use your brain.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to judge anybody who has found solace in Christianity or religion, because if that is your truth, live your truth.
But you need to make your own decisions for yourself.
Yes. Make sure that you are, if you are subscribing to a religion or a practice, you are doing it because you choose to.
Yeah.
And it makes you happy, not because you were told, but because you want to.
What? Is there a moment of, like, in your adult life, kind of past your childhood, which sounds really...
I had a good childhood. Let me...
No. Not that your childhood sounds bad, but it just, like, with who you are, with your identity, it feels so opposite. So in opposition.
And with who I am. And how I where I came from?
Yeah. And the... Is there a moment, like, in your adulthood where you just felt totally affirmed, fulfilled, seen?
Yes. When I came out. And I actually have to give props to my aunt. So there was a moment. I had a moment, the epiphany moment. I had made the decision to finally come out. I couldn't stay in anymore. But before I made it public, I called my aunt.
Mm-hmm. Who you were close to?
Yes. So this is my aunt on my father's side. I called her one day and I told her what I was going through. And she said, okay, and what? I said, I'm gay. And there was no pause. Without skipping a beat, she goes, Edwin, I have been waiting years for you to tell me this. Did you ever notice that every time I came to visit, I would always talk about my gay friends and how fabulous they are and how their marriages are always just as long as heterosexual couples, if not longer? I did that for you. Because I knew that one day I would be having this conversation with you. And I wanted to make sure you had someone to talk to. And here we were. And I will never forget that moment. It was like Mount Everest just got taken off of my shoulders. Yeah. I could breathe. And I felt seen. And I felt loved. And I felt accepted. And after that, it was not smooth sailing, but I knew I could weather the storms.
And you had a family member being so beautifully supportive of you, and I assume to this day.
Oh, yeah, she's my biggest advocate, my biggest supporter. We love her.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Aunt Lisa.
Aunt Lisa, hi, we love you, if you're listening.
What about for you? I guess one of the differences, though, is between you and me is I grew up with a lot of oppression.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you grew up with much of that? Compared to me, I would say less.
Yeah.
But maybe yours is different.
I grew up with a lot of judgment and shame instilled in me by the world around me, not my family and my parents. I took on a lot of guilt and shame because of the judgment from my community around me.
Okay, can you set the scene of what your community was?
Just a pretty conservative Jewish community that was very small. Okay. So, like, everyone knew everyone's business. A lot of times it came out gossipy. I mean, bullying, because I was different. And as much as I talk about my beautiful unconventional family structure, I had a really kind of, quote, weird family compared to a lot of my peers. Divorced parents, remarried dad. There was a lot there.
Was there a moment that you can remember where you said, you know what, I'm embracing my differentness and my family, and I can weather these storms?
There isn't necessarily a specific moment. There are a lot of moments kind of over the years, and a constant love. And I mean, I have a really supportive family. I'm very lucky. But having the constant love and support of my mom, even in our worst moments, she was always there for me. Mm. And we got in a lot of fights.
Well, that's family.
That's family. And we have, you know, we've been through a lot, but I think my connection to her, and I have to say one of the most affirming, more recent moments was showing off my first visibly queer relationship, which is now over, to my mom, but like having a conversation with my mom, being like, look at this person I'm dating and look at this relationship I'm experiencing and our connection there.
I'm assuming it got stronger after that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my mom and I, our relationship has grown and changed a lot over the past few years in a lot of beautiful ways. And we've gotten closer because we finally have talked about a lot of the things that I felt shame around, like sex and pleasure and stuff and body image. And we finally kind of had conversations around that.
Jumping to now.
Yeah.
What would you say your community is now? Do you have a community? What does that look like? Who is in it?
I feel like I have such a broad community. I have people in theater who I feel like are my community. I have people from my dance class from the S Factor studio. I have friends I've kept from theater jobs past, which that feels like more specifically where my queer community is coming from. And I've reconnected with some friends from high school to find a Jewish community here.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah. So when we can go out into the world again, I hope there's a way I can kind of better merge all these communities. But I have these very different parts of my brain, parts of my like soul satisfied.
Yeah, I relate to you very much on sort of the compartmentalization mm-hmm. of my who I am as Edwin, and that being reflected in the humans that I spend time with. Mm-hmm. My boy gang, if you will, they're mostly Latin. But then I have people that are specific to theater yeah. and that's community. And then I have people, a lot of individuals around the country that I kind of categorize as my misfit friends.
Oh, interesting.
Those are actually the closest connections I have, are mm-hmm. the people that in times of sort of needing companionship, I found them because we were both very much misfits. Mm-hmm. Whether they're willing to admit it or not, they are odd, 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 and so am I.
But you've built yourself a community.
I have.
In New York and beyond. I mean, I feel the same. I've built myself a community.
Yeah. Well, I've built it, but they've helped to build it because yeah. a relationship is a two-way street.
Yeah.
And you can't have a good, strong relationship without the other person putting in work as well. So yeah.
I feel like also there's building happening because we're young and things are changing and growing and adapting and we're doing new things and discovering new parts of ourselves and exploring new parts of ourselves. So I guess, is there something you're excited to explore in your identity?
Yeah, more my Latin side. You know,
I went
to Puerto Rico for the first time last year, and that was really, really fabulous. I got to meet some cousins of mine.
Amazing.
They're removed, but they're cousins. And from my understanding, there's quite a big family down there, and I wasn't able to meet all of them. But I wanted to start slow. I didn't want to just sort of show up on these people's doorsteps. But how about you? Anything you're excited about?
Before this all started, before we were locked in our houses, I started to make more explorations in, like, to my queer identity in communities and projects. And I think I'm really excited. I've discovered some, like, queer and Jewish groups and, like, justice-oriented groups. So that's, like, kind of wrapping those things together that are all very important to me, I think, is a direction I'm excited to go in.
You know, okay, so first off, can we talk about the definition of queer as opposed to gay or lesbian? Because that's not what you are.
No.
You are queer.
Yeah. The word queer is a blanket term that includes the whole LGBTQ+ spectrum. It includes asexuality and aromanticism, those who don't have sexual desire or desire for romantic connection. And it includes every gray area within the bigger titles of gay and lesbian. For me, I am not only attracted to cisgendered men.
To me, queer, it's kind of all-encompassing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is excluding because it's more of anything that's not part of the heteronormative society,
yeah.
I feel like. That's kind of how I see it.
I think that is a
that
great
term. Because if I'm
going to
be completely honest with you, I guess maybe going back to you asking me if there's anything for me to explore is, while I identify as gay, I kind of operate over here. And I feel like a lot of the sort of normal, quote-unquote, gay male community operates over here. And I'm just sort of over here and la-da-dee-da-da-dee-da-do. Edwin's just doing his own thing. And I have found myself gravitating more towards just open
mm-hmm.
spaces just in general rather than specifically
yeah
gay male, especially like Hell's Kitchen here. I don't know if you've ever done that. It's very white gay. There's nothing wrong with that,
but there's a very specific culture, and I mean that's why I like the word queer, because
yeah.
it just is this beautiful umbrella where anyone can be, and it also allows space for a like change and growth under one word.
Growth, exploration.
Exploration.
Saying, oh no, I don't actually want that, or that's not me.
Yeah.
But this over here is.
And I think that's so beautiful. And I think that's a good note to jump to recommendations on.
Yes. Explore your queerness.
Explore your
I think queerness. Everybody has a little bit of a queer side.
Oh my God.
And I say that not to be like weird.
I feel like there are very few people who are 100% straight.
And this is not to say that we know you better than you know yourself.
No.
It's more that, I just feel like in the mass space of society, people are not, generally speaking, fully comfortable enough exploring.
Yes. Explore. Explore your joy and pleasure and attraction.
Yeah, whatever that may be.
Whatever it is. Anything.
Yeah. As long as you're not hurting somebody and there's consent.
Yes. With consent.
I love that.
You got any recommendations for me?
Yeah. So I have a song and a TV show. The song is Caught Up in the Country by Rodney Atkins, because that's my countryside and I love that song.
I love that.
And then the TV show is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, hell yes.
If you haven't seen this show, guys, watch it. It is fast. It is funny. It is entertaining. The clothes are fabulous.
Strong female lead.
Strong female lead. Who's also, that woman is a powerhouse.
Hell yes.
She's a gorgeous, talented powerhouse, and I'm here for it.
Jessie Reyes released her new album today.
Have you started listening?
Of course I have. It is the soundtrack to my challah baking.
Yes.
And I'm obsessed, shaking my hips in beautiful circles in the kitchen while I bake.
Love. Follow us on Instagram, Diaries of a COVID-19 Affair. Email us at gmail.com. Like, share, rate.
Subscribe. Thanks for listening. We love you. Find some joy. Explore some pleasure.
Explore your queerness.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.